Hello, OMT3701 students. My name is Mrs. Van Hoopen. The focus of the chapter on statistical control in your textbook is on control charts. In this podcast, I want to give you an overview of the different types of control charts, when to use them, and draw your attention to aspects you need to pay attention to. Please have your textbook at hand and open it at chapter 17 if you use the 10th edition of the Prescribe book, and chapter 16 if you use the 11th edition. Every production process has variation in output. There are two basic categories of variation. One is natural variations that are purely random, unidentifiable, and uncontrollable. This source of variation is unavoidable. The natural process variation can be described by a distribution which is characterized by its location, spread, and shape. As long as the process output remains within specified limits described by this distribution, we say that the process is in control and the variations are tolerated. The second variation is assignable variations. When we identify assignable variations, we say the process is not in control. These variations have assignable causes that can and must be identified and eliminated. These variations are not random and can be controlled. The purpose of control charts is to help us distinguish between natural and assignable variations. In other words, whether a process is in control or not. In this chapter, we deal with four different types of control charts: X-bar, R, P, and C charts. The first two charts, X-bar and R, are control charts for variables. They are used to monitor processes that are measured in continuous units like length, weight, and diameter, for example. We monitor the mean and the variability of the process distribution, which we assume to be a normal distribution. Now let's look at the X-bar chart. The X-bar chart measures the central tendency of a process. We can calculate the control limits for an X-bar chart using two different sets of equations depending on the information we have available. If we know through historical data the standard deviation of the process population sigma subscript x, then we can use equation -1 and -2 in your textbook. Here the upper control limit, or UCL, is given as x double bar plus the product of z and sigma subscript x bar. All the variables are defined in your textbook below these equations. For instance, z is the number of normal standard deviations. If you are asked to calculate a 3 sigma control limit, it means that z is equal to 3, which in turn means that you want your control limits to include 99.7% of the sample means. If you are asked to calculate a 2 sigma control limit, it means that z is equal to 2, which means that you want your control limits to include 95.5% of the sample means. Note that x double bar is the average of the sample averages, but it can also be a target value when the process has been redesigned. Also note that you need the standard deviation of the process population to calculate sigma subscript x bar. What happens if the process population standard deviation is not available? Then we use the second set of equations, -3 and -4 in your textbook. For these equations, we only need x double bar and the average range of the samples and a value a subscript 2, which can be found in table 17.2 or 16.2 in your textbook. Remember that this table assumes that z is equal to 3, so you may only use this set of equations for 3 sigma or 99.7% control limits. Now let's look at the R chart. The R chart is used to monitor the process variability or dispersion. The set of equations for the control limits are given in equations -5 and then -6 in your textbook. Again, you need values from table 17.2 or 16.2, so we can only calculate 3 sigma or 99.7% control limits for the R chart. The last two types of control charts are the P and C charts. They are control charts for attributes where the process characteristic is counted rather than measured. We are typically interested in defectives. The P chart is used for controlling the fraction or proportion or percentage of defective services or products. The P chart is used where the product or service can only be placed into one of two categories. For instance, defectives or non-defectives, good or bad, pass or fail, operate or don't operate. So the underlying statistical distribution is based on the binomial distribution, the bi of the binomial indicating 2. But when the sample sizes are large, the normal distribution is a good approximation of the binomial distribution. Equations-7 and -8 in your textbook give the control limits for the p-chart. In these equations, we use z, the number of normal standard deviations, which indicates that we make use of the normal distribution. To calculate the standard deviation of the sampling distribution, you only work with the sample size n. But when calculating p-bar, the average fraction or proportion defectives in the total sample, you divide the total number of defectives by the total number of observations and not the sample size. To get the total number of observations, you have to multiply the sample size by the total number of samples. You need to be very clear on this and remember it. Sometimes services or products can have more than one defect. That is when we will use a C chart. We use a C chart when we can count the number of defectives per unit of measure. For example, scratches, chips, dents, or errors per item, like 4 dents per car, bacteria or pollutants per unit of volume, like 22 E. coli bacteria per milliliter, complaints, calls, failures per unit of time, like 7 calls per day, and breaks or tears per unit of area, like 2 tears per square meter. Can you see each time we have a per unit of measure? Note also that we are not able to count the non-defectives. The calculations of the C control limits are easy and straightforward, and you should not have any problems with that. This brings us to the end of this podcast on control charts.